August 6. Mr. Gatewood got back from the Springs today in the notion to marry, so they all been sitting around camp. Frank wrote a letter. There is preaching today in the arbor. We have concluded to stay 2 weeks longer, and we had to move our camp since Mr. Ranking wanted the house we are in. We are camped under some oak trees close to the schoolhouse where Mr. Kirkland is camped. It rained very hard just after we got into camp. August 13. Very warm. We all went 9 miles to the Masonic dinner and saw a great many people, but did not enjoy ourselves at all. I had a sick headache and did not get any of the dinner or hear any of the speaking. They had plenty of baked beef, goat meat, cornbread, and coffee for dinner. We stayed there until 3 o'clock, then went 9 miles up to the Sulphur Springs to see Mr. Gatewood get married. He was married to Miss Oxer, after which we had a very nice supper, but I could not enjoy it. During these days, the Shackelfords were in the indigenous territories of the Kickapoo, the Lipan Apache, and the Comanche. I'm Jen Glabius, and this is the Halanaki Deep Dive, a podcast about the process of mapping and analysis for historical and archaeological research using open source tools. In this episode, I'll discuss Atwell Gatewood's marriage and its consequences on the group, as well as new family relationships that formed because of this marriage. Let's dive in. Our primary source for information about the Shackelfords is, of course, Roof's diary. So what we have is Roof's perspective on events that happen and places that they see. And so let's just take a little bit of time to look at Mr. Gatewood and Miss Oxer's relationship prior to marriage from Roof's perspective. As far as the diary goes, it starts July 30th of 1868, when Mr. Kirkland and Mr. Gatewood went to Thorpe Springs to see Mr. Kirkland's brother. And I want to take a slight aside here. There are a couple places, including in this entry, where the edition of the diary I have in Covered Wagon Women, it says Mrs. Kirkland and Mrs. Gatewood, but that has to be a mistake. There was no Mrs. Gatewood. And I was very confused about that until realizing that it must be that the editor put in a Mrs. instead of Mr., or maybe that was what was in the copy that he got, which I think was typewritten. So this is a case where having the original manuscript, the original diary, would have been really useful, and just for being able to check against different things that we see. Because some people might see it as Mrs., where it's really Mr. So handwriting is super difficult to read. Anyway, with that, so that's July 30th. Kirkland and Gatewood go to see Mr. Kirkland's brother. August 1st, Mr. Kirkland and Mr. Gatewood return from Thorpe Springs, quote, some better pleased with Texas, unquote. So they come back from the Springs. The next day, Roof writes, the Shackelfords went to see Mrs. Kirkland and Miss Oxer, who was with them. And again, the first time I read this, I'm like, who is this person and why is she suddenly with them? Not understanding the family relationships that I'll get to in a little bit. 2 days later, August 4th, Mr. Gatewood, which again, the manuscript, the text I have says Mrs., but it's Mr. Gatewood, took Miss Oxer home, back to the Springs. 2 days after that, on August 6th, is the first entry I read from August 6th. Mr. Gatewood gets back from the Springs and tells the Shackelfords he's getting married to Miss Oxer. And so a little over a week after meeting, so the earliest, probably July 30th, Mr. Gatewood went to Thorpe Springs, and then that's the earliest, and then August 6th, they decide to get married. So very quickly. After that, Roof sews Mr. Gatewood a fine shirt for the wedding, and then a week after that, on August 13th, they marry. Now, before I looked into some of the family history a little bit, and actually before I read Ewell's History of Hood County, I really didn't understand all the relationships that were going on. I was like, where did this Miss Oxer come from? She seemed to come out of nowhere. And like, I didn't understand the relationships. So let's talk about those family relationships a bit. And most of this is coming from Ewell's History of Hood County that I used a lot in the previous episode. So let's talk about the Kirklands, the Oxers, and the Gatewoods. Start with the Oxiers, or as Ruth put it, Oxer. There's a difference in the records whether there's an I or no I in their name. So starting with James Oxier, who served in the Confederate Army, and afterwards he settled at Thorpe Spring, where his mother, brothers, and sisters all lived. So there's a family of Oxiers who are important enough that Ewell was writing about them. Also, Ewell said, when he mentioned Jacob Kirkland, he said that Jacob Kirkland married one of James Oxier's sisters, the one who was the widow of James Lewis. So Jacob Kirkland, who we talked about last episode, he was a blacksmith, and he was living at Thorpe Spring, the Sulphur Springs, and he was actually with his in-laws as well, the Oxiers. His brother-in-law, mother-in-law, and then these sisters. And so what we have is that the Kirklands and the Oxiers are related at this point, and that's why Miss Oxier goes back with the Kirklands and visits, and eventually, during that time, gets to know Atwell Gatewood and decides to marry him. I just want to talk a little bit about marriage in 1868 Texas. So at this point, so they decide to get married. There's going to be a ceremony, and it happens seemingly really quickly. And I'm not sure if this is my modern sensibilities putting like that spin on it. I know weddings usually take a lot longer than that now, like, but they're much more elaborate. And some reading I did on marriages said that about the 1860s, 1870s is when wedding ceremonies became more elaborate, and couples were then married in churches with more invitations, or invitations to more people than just their very close relatives and friends. So about that time, there's an expansion of weddings, and probably the expansion that we experience today. But we're talking about just after the Civil War, Texas, so 3 years after the Civil War. And so there were definite demographic issues going on at that time. I looked at an article by last name Hacker and others from 2010 called The Effect of the Civil War on Southern Marriage Patterns. And so this is an article that didn't speak specifically about Texas, but was looking at what happened demographically with marriage in the South after the Civil War. So one of the first pieces of information is that there were a large number of deaths, like many, many men. One estimate is 1 in 5 white men of military age died in the South during the Civil War. So deaths from the South, 1 in 5. So that's a shortage of men, like fewer men available for marrying. And so women in the South, the white women in the South, would have had less chance for marriage. And another thing they mentioned in this article is that women outnumbered men in the East. So there was already a shortage of men. So the differential wasn't very good for women getting married in the East, while in general, men outnumbered women in the West due to sex differentials in migration. More men usually went west than women. Since we're talking about Texas, I'm not sure that that necessarily counts as part of the South. I think it counts as part of the West. I think there were probably more men. Texas was becoming more settled, but even Hood County, like during this time, Ruth doesn't mention it, but there were actually still conflicts going on with the indigenous peoples of the area. And so I think there were still probably a differential, more men than women in Texas, even though the differential had probably been changing even during the Civil War. So one thing that the authors of that article found is that there seems to have been a marriage squeeze on Southern women in 1870. So it was more difficult for Southern women. There were more single Southern women than before in 1870. But 10 years later, in 1880, that was no longer the case. So even if there was an effect of the Civil War on marriage in the South, it was gone within 20 years, 15, 20 years. Just wanted to look a little bit at that because it's very interesting. So, and I wonder if these dynamics played any part in this marriage. Like, Atwell Gatewood has three young sons at this point that he's raising by himself, because his wife, Anne Gatewood, died on their trip to California in 1865. And they reach Texas, he meets Miss Oxier, and he gets married. So he had made it, like, about 3 years, like, as a widower, raising these boys by himself. So perhaps he decided, and there would have been, perhaps, in San Bernardino, California, we don't know what the differential of men to women would have been there either. Perhaps Texas was a place where it would be easier to find a woman to then marry. We don't know. But this marriage would have consequences. So Miss Oxier, the new Mrs. Gatewood, her family is all in Texas. So they're all in Hood County, Texas. But the Shackelfords had said that they would stay 2 more weeks and then take off. And on August 25th, 1868, they left Center Mill, where they had been for like 5 weeks, as Ruth said. Along this way, they had actually deviated from the Butterfield Overland Mail route to reach Center Mills. So they're not on the stage route, the Butterfield route at this point, but they would eventually travel to rejoin that route. So they leave August 25th. On August 31st, they travel through Dallas, and Ruth has a description of it. It's a town. She really likes seeing towns. Couple days after that, September 2nd, from Ruth's diary. Still cool and cloudy. Frank and Mr. Kirkland are going on to Missouri, and Gatewood will stay in Texas. Frank let him have his little wagon at $100. And that's the end of what Ruth says about Atwell Gatewood and the Gatewoods. And we know what happens with Atwell Gatewood and his family. Again, from Ewell's History of Hood County, it was written that James Oxier's other sisters, so Mrs. Bateman and Mrs. Gatewood, at the time of his writing, so 1895, were citizens of Boss County. So that was the county to the south of Hood. And from looking at records about Atwell Gatewood, I know that he became a judge there in Boss County. So we know what happened with them. But I just want to take a moment to think about this. The Gatewoods and the Shackelfords and the Rhines had all left together in 1865 from Clark County, Missouri. They traveled across the prairie through Utah into California, across deserts, horrific situations where there's a lot of sickness. The Gatewoods especially, there's so many deaths in their family. The Rhines decide to stay in California. But the Gatewoods and Shackelfords decided to travel back towards Missouri, go back east, and they weren't quite as much of a unit as they seemed to have been in 1865. They no longer had that common relative, but they were still family. But now this is the end of what Ruth says about Gatewood. It's just like, okay, they decided to depart. Frank let him have his wagon, and we're done, and that's it. And it just seems like an ending that doesn't have much. Like, there's no resonance. She's just like, okay, and now he's gone. Now we're separated. Mr. Gatewood, no longer at. There's that distance between them. Like, literal now, instead of just the feeling of Mr. Gatewood versus calling him at. And so, we have one more episode about Ruth Shackelford's 1868 diary. And I just wanted to tell you a little bit about what I'm working on. There's still mapping the routes to be done. I still somewhat have that on hold because I'm going to be traveling. I'm going to be working on an archaeological excavation for a few weeks. And so I'm trying to prepare episodes. But also, looking ahead, the next episode finishes off Ruth Shackelford's diary. But I still have so many questions. I'll talk about those in the next episode. And so a lot of what I've been doing lately is looking into family histories and histories of Missouri, California, and Texas, because I'm trying to put the Shackelford's travels into more context. So my background is not in American history in any way. My background is actually is in Greek archaeology and history. So a lot of this I'm learning as I go. So I need a bit more background. So I'm doing a lot of reading. I also found this really interesting book. I kind of wish I would have found it earlier, but it's a book by Lillian Schlesel called Women's Diaries of the Westward Journey. And it's this great book that I haven't entirely read yet. I'm going to take it as like beach reading with me on my trip. And talks about how women's diaries were different from men's diaries of Western journeys because women's concerns were different. Like they had very, sometimes women would have to take on men's roles, but still their concerns would be different and their perspectives were different. It's also interesting because she lists out, there's a table of all sorts of different women's diaries and also reminiscence. So where a woman like writes later a reminiscence of their travel west, and that the table looks at different aspects. Was she married? Was she single? All sorts of different concerns. Does she talk about death? Does she talk about homes? And so I'm somewhat looking forward to possibly digitizing that table. I'm not sure she included like Ruth Shackelford's diaries in there, so possibly adding two the table and then perhaps doing some analysis of concerns, like how much do these concerns. So look for that coming up. That's going to be another topic coming up. But on the next episode, we are going to reach the end of Ruth Shackelford's 1868 diary. And I'll talk about that as well as what came after, since the diary ended before they actually reached Missouri. Email questions or comments to deepdive@helenaki.com or ask them on the Helenaki Deep Dive Facebook page. Show notes with links to resources mentioned in this episode are available at helenaki.com. That's helonaki.com. You can also find ways to support the show, now including merch, such as t-shirts, mugs, and stickers with the Helenaki Deep Dive logo, at helenaki.com/support. My thanks to Patreon supporter at the geospatial analyst level, Leah Varel. Your support keeps the Helenaki Deep Dive going. The Helenaki Deep Dive is written and produced by me, Jen Globius of the Helenaki. The theme music is Deep Ocean Instrumental by Dan O of danosongs.com. Thanks for listening.